The 8th chapter of Romans, please. The epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. And reading at verse 18, Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is our manifestation as sons, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And reading from verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or our citizenship, our colony, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change the body of our humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now come please to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and reading at verse 16. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And at him that heareth say, Come. And at him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Verse 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." A final reading now in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We shall read now from verse 6, please. The apostle tells Timothy, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Well, the Lord will bless these verses. They've been with me a good part of today, and I felt I ought to read them. I believe the days in which we live ought to have in our hearts brightened the hope of our Lord's return, the rapture. We remember the Savior said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And surely these signs are seen all around us today as we cast our eye across this wide world. And it could be possible that this could be our very last Easter gathering before the day of the rapture. And all I want to see is this tonight from these verses. We find in the four passages what might be termed the ideal attitude of the believer to the rapture. First of all, in the 8th chapter of Romans, we are told to patiently wait for it. Patiently wait for it. Wait it out is the idea. It's like the sentry who stands through the cold hours of the night. There he paces up and down, and he waits patiently for the dawning of the day. That's the idea of the word. We patiently wait for it. I remember when my dad was dying, when I was a boy of 12. One of the elders of our assembly in Glasgow came to see him. He said, "Andrew, you know right well you might not need to die," though he did 6 months after I was saved. But my dad listened as he said, "Andrew, the Lord is coming." My father responded, "That's what I wait for." Now all these years have passed, yet we wait. We patiently wait. And bless God, the day of the rapture will not be held back one single day in the divine purpose. When that purpose is right, thank God we'll hear his cry, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Secondly, according to Philippians chapter 3, the ideal attitude of the believer there is to look for it. It's practically the same word, again, only used in a different sense in English, from the 8th chapter of Romans, to wait for it. You see, in Romans 8, he's speaking there about our sufferings. And after all, in the light of our daily sufferings, we've got to patiently wait for the coming, and that will bring them all to an end. For them will be the redemption of our bodies. But now here in Philippians 3, it is slightly different. The apostle makes a mention of the world round, and even these false teachers who mind earthly things. And he would want the believer to rise above this level, this mundane level, and get his eye fixed upon the coming of the Lord Jesus, looking for the Savior. The idea behind the word here is an outstretched neck looking for the Savior. I was told when I was a boy, way back many years ago, when the king who was on the throne at that time came to our school. The schools of the village were lined out in a Scottish street. And I remember when the cry went up, "He comes." We were on the bend of the street. And you'd have seen all the boys and girls with their necks stretched for the first glimpse of the sovereign. That should be the attitude of we, the people of God, looking for the Lord Jesus, reminding us of our pilgrimage. For he says, our citizenship is in heaven. And I plead with you, fellow believers, tonight, in the face of the present crisis, if there's one thing more than another that should characterize us as the assemblies of God's people in these days, is this: that we manifest in our lives and deportment and our mingling with our fellows, we ought to manifest daily that which speaks of our pilgrim character, that this one is not our home. The Lord Jesus said to Pilate, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." And if there's one thing I believe that we are called upon in these terrible days of crisis in our country is this, that we as the people of God stand absolutely neutral, clear from all political siding, and remember that we are pilgrims on the road to heaven looking for the Savior. And again, that passage shows us he'll change these bodies of our humiliation and fashion them like to the body of his glory. Thirdly, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, the closing words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he holds out that hope to the church in verse 16. He speaks of himself as the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, you ought to know, I'm sure you do, for the morning star is flung into the sky, as the herald are herald there and harbinger of the approaching dawn. And thank God, that's exactly the presentation that I would like to get a hold of tonight. To look for the Lord Jesus as the bright and the morning star. It is a beautiful metaphor, the last in the Bible. And had it been another occasion, I'd love to have went down in an outline the beauties of the morning star so seen in the character of our blessed Lord. But all I want to say is this, brethren, as the days grow darker, and they're very dark at the moment, and no doubt we're approaching, if not in the midnight hour, what do we wait for now? The rising of the morning star. And bless God, the night will be over, and we'll step into the glory of an eternal day that will never end. What are we to do here? Well, we find the Spirit and the bride say, come. That is, we wait for it in Romans 8. We look for it in Philippians 3. We pray for it. The Spirit and the bride pray. They say, come. What does that mean? If I'm in fellowship with the Holy Spirit at all, who dwells within me, I believe in these last days, we'll join with him in this prayer. What prayer? Even so come, Lord Jesus. We wait for it. We look for it. We pray for it. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, dear Paul is finishing his earthly course. The block is on the corner, and soon the swordsman will do his work and land dear Paul on the eternal shore. You see him here, he takes the metaphor of the ship yonder in the harbor, straining on the hawsers. Its compliments on, the gangways are drawn, and it's saying in ship's language, let me sail off to the other side. That's the language. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my unmooring is at hand. And Paul is about to sail off to the other shore. Now he says in this passage, after he gives a little word about the vigor of his past life, I have fought a good fight, I finished the course of kept the faith. Then he gives the vigor of his present life. I am now ready to be poured out. Then he gives the vision of his future life. What he says, henceforth is it up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also, that love his appearing. Just Paul in Romans 8, wait for it. Wait for it. Says Paul in Philippians 3, look for it. Says the Lord Jesus Christ in that lovely closing passage, pray for it. And now he says in 2 Timothy 4, love it. And then you, it's not just the rapture that's here. Not just that. It's his appearing. And to the believer, you and I, by that time, will have been to the judgment seat of Christ. And our lives unravel before the eye of the best of masters. Says Paul, that's the day I'm looking for. And Paul was able to love that day because he knew when he would stand before the master, he would have heaven's commendation and the smile of his master's approval. May God help us, even though we wait to pray. May this hope be burned up, brightened up in our hearts, and burned, shall I say, fiercely, until we rise above the trials and troubles of our little land. And every day, instead of looking even for a peaceful solution, let us look upward for the coming Lord. Amen.